All right, so guys, interesting week one we had there with a lot of events that occurred. What is your biggest story of the week? And I'll just start off. I don't know why I asked it. So my biggest story, guys, was James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. Bell didn't report at all to camp or to the Steelers, which, you know, we kind of saw he's been having contract disputes with them. So people predicted that maybe by Saturday he'd make it and be there for the team, because by Saturday he was supposed, if he had reported, he wouldn't have missed his game check. He would have been fine. But he didn't show up, and the Steelers played the Browns, and we saw the Browns stay undefeated. God, and it was just a beautiful story, but
tragic.
For me, the biggest story is Conner Bell. James Conner started, carried the ball 31 times for 135 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 5 catches for 57 yards. He had a big game, played really well, and to me, it just hurts Bell's value knowing that you have a player that can do that. It seemed like the O-line was hype just seeing James Conner doing all that.
I disagree with you. I think that game actually proved Le'Veon's worth. Even though James Conner had a great game, Le'Veon brings an extra dimension to their passing game.
But 5 catches for 57 yards. 5 catches for 57 yards speaks for itself.
But during the game, they schemed against Antonio Brown, which limited him a lot.
Did they? Because the weather conditions were not good. Ben did not play well.
They definitely were not good. But, I mean, I think if Le'Veon is there, I think they win the game.
I think for me, the only thing the only issue that occurred with Conner was just the game and or the fumble at the end of the game. But other than that, I mean, for me, I think that this hurts Le'Veon's value. Not even that. This is another thing that makes this even worse. David Johnson's contract extension, 3 years, $39 million, $30 million guaranteed, and is going to be up to $45 million. That's nowhere close to what Le'Veon wants. And David Johnson gets just as much work as Le'Veon Bell. They both get the same amount of touches. They're just as important to that to their offenses. So I think for me this week, I don't know about y'all, for me this week – was not a good week for Le'Veon Bell. And I get it. The Steelers could have won. But I think that to say that Le'Veon Bell is going to be extremely missed, I think it's a lie, because 31 carries for 135 yards. James Conner touched the ball 36 times. That's the quantity that Le'Veon Bell would touch it. That's at
Le'Veon
Bell level.
You can't tell me they're
level.
The same player, though.
I'm not saying they're the same player. I'm just saying that you show me those stats, and you're showing me somebody that the Steelers, one, depend on, because I can't even – if Fitzgerald Toussaint isn't touching the ball like that. Some teams, like, once you get an injury, like we saw with McKinnon, Breida and Morris touched the ball. Nobody – they gave full confidence to James Conner. The O-line trusted him. Ben trusted them. The Steelers just – you can see that they trust this kid. I say kid as if he's not older, but, you know – he was used at the same quantity as somebody like Le'Veon Bell's used. And that's for me the biggest story, is that you see James Conner's value, like how he's a solid player, and the Browns have a solid running defense. And I remember seeing a stat somewhere where it's like where when they stacked the box, he ran the ball 16 times with a stacked box and with an average 5 yards a carry. That's a special player right there.
I mean, now, I get that, but, I mean, Le'Veon was their second leading receiver last year. They're going to miss that.
I get that, but, Hayden, I think that once Le'Veon's back, I don't even know if James Conner is going to be there. How do you rule out a player like that from your offense? You don't, like
– You're like, not, and Le'Veon's actually going to get exactly what he wants. He doesn't want to wear himself out this year, so when Le'Veon comes back, he can share the load with James Conner.
I get that, but – well, yeah, which is good, but, you know – actually, that's a very good argument that I never considered.
What?
That's true. I never thought, like, throughout this whole time, I never thought that that might be what Le'Veon wants.
My whole opinion on this, I don't think James Conner is anything special. I mean, you see the way Le'Veon Bell runs. This O-line is used to having to hold their blocks for 5 seconds at a time, so I'm not surprised at his numbers running into a stack box.
Le'Veon Bell's a special player. I'll tell you that. But to say that James Conner is not a special third, I'm just saying
it's in one game. You can't judge this guy's talent on one game.
But what I'm saying, but I think that he showed in the preseason too. I think that he's going to be a consistently good player. And if Le'Veon Bell's, if this is his last season, like I think it'll end up being, I think the Steelers are going to have a perfectly fine backup plan with James.
And Conner. They might. But did you watch the Cleveland Pittsburgh game?
I watched parts. I didn't get to watch all of it. New England was on, so
the Browns easily schemed against Antonio Brown. Like, can you name the Pittsburgh number two receiver? You know his name.
James Washington, or it's either James Washington or it's Juju.
It's probably Juju.
It is Juju. Yeah, and then Justin Hunter is the number three.
Oh, it's not
Juju. Antonio Brown was held to four catches by Denzel Ward.
Denzel made some plays. I did get to see.
They played the secondary. If you take out a team's number one rushing player and their number two receiver, their offense is going to get a lot worse.
Yeah,
if Le'Veon's in that game just isn't a tie. That game's going to be like a 30-point blowout.
Yeah, but the weather wasn't favorable. If you give me Cleveland against Pittsburgh.
I don't care about the weather. If you have Le'Veon in that game, it's going to be a blowout.
You can just throw short passes to Le'Veon, and he'll do the rest of the work. Like,
But they threw short catches to him. 5 catches for 57 yards.
I don't know where you got the 5. He got 3 receptions, according to the stats 5. I'm looking at.
Looked at ESPN, and I saw he got 5 catches.
I just looked at ESPN.
Oh, well. I don't know. Look, my argument is still this.
And I'd like to go back to another point you said. You said David Johnson's contract is bad for Le'Veon because they have the same usage. Yeah. Le'Veon led the league in usage his last season. And he was used a good amount more than David Johnson.
But guess what happened?
With David Johnson's full season.
Can you tell me what David Johnson's full stats were from last season? Because I can tell you right now, they weren't anywhere near Le'Veon.
I compared his 2016 to Le'Veon's 2017.
Okay. I was going to say, because he was...
David Johnson had 50 less touches.
I don't know. I still think that David Johnson's gets the same workload as Le'Veon Bell. And that contract...
He doesn't. He had to combine 50 less 50 touches less, that's... on the ball than Le'Veon
yes,
did.
But that's still... That's not... Okay. Compared to everybody else in the league, that... I still think that that's so many touches.
Le'Veon's a workhorse that you can't compare him to anybody else. The level of work he does for that team.
I don't know. I think that David Johnson's contract is not good for him, for Le'Veon. I still think Le'Veon's going to get what he wants because somebody's going to want to pay him. I think that I think he's fully worth what he wants. I'm not denying.
If the Steelers really like James Conner, then they're either going to trade Le'Veon soon while his value is still high, or they're going to let him walk. It's going to be one of the two.
I don't think so, because Le'Veon's going to come play for them at least after week 10 when he has to report so he can be a free agent. So if they feel like they can do good until then, I mean, heck, Le'Veon can be there for the stretch run.
Guys, I'd just like to say that I'm checking ESPN again, and it does say 5 receptions for 57 yards.
All right. I mean,
so I get what you're saying.
I'll give you that one.
Look, but I think that it's bad news and good news. I just don't – but when it comes to the Steelers, he's not going to get that money. They're not going to give it to him.
All right.
They won't.
With that, I say we should transition into what was for me the most surprising thing of week one, and that was what the Bucs did to the Saints. Like, I expected that game to be close, but I didn't expect the Bucs to put up 48.
No, I expected a blowout. I watched that game too. That game was a mess.
I mean,
it really was.
In the last podcast, I told you guys what worried me about the Saints was their defense, and I think this game shows that. I mean,
can I just say that this I had the Saints defense on fantasy. Not that fantasy really matters in the situation, but
When you allow Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw 417 yards and have 5 total touchdowns, that is not good. Ryan Fitzpatrick
21 for 28 passing. Yeah, our completion, or when it comes 156 rating and 97.1.
And the Saints and the Bucs receivers were just blowing past the Saints cornerbacks. And
the
Saints looked bad.
The big thing for the Saints defense I was confident in was their secondary, and that's what got just destroyed.
Yeah, Mike outside Evans Lattimore, was a beast, like, who do they really have, to be honest? And I think Lattimore's overrated. So,
well, I had a lot of faith in Lattimore. He was getting killed by Chris Godwin. at points. Mm-hmm. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick averaged 15 yards of completion.
Now I would like to say that Drew Brees played fine. 37-45.
He played great. But I mean, their issue in the years past, other than last year, was the fact their offense was amazing, but their defense was one of the worst in the NFL. So
I remember y'all telling me that you guys thought that Drew Brees was still going down a regression, and I told y'all which is false.
I said no such thing.
All right.
The Bucs defense doesn't prove much.
I don't care. It's just the fact that Drew Brees 39 yards and three touchdowns.
He can't.
I think he can. Drew Brees is such a good quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. I think he could keep up. Last season, he just did not. There was no need for him. Their running game was great. Their defense performed. If their defense is gonna lose the Bucs, that worries me. It's week one. We're all
gonna overreact. Do you guys expect them to rebound though? I mean, honestly, this was in line with my earlier prediction on the year. I think their defense holds them back.
They get the Browns next, so the Browns are
gonna be their best shot at a rebound.
Yeah. And even
if they get in a shootout with the Browns, there is definitely a reason to worry about this team.
Would you guys say that the Browns offense is more talented than the Bucks offense? Because I'd say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and definitely. Yeah.
I don't know how many 400 yard games Ryan Fitzpatrick has in him, Tyrod's not doing that. So
he could.
Fitzpatrick
was going to do that.
I think that. No one. Would you guys consider the Browns? Would you guys consider the Browns' offense to be a test?
No.
I want to say no, but if they play like they did last week, then yes.
I mean, we get to see Josh Gordon be unleashed. Maybe they take him off that little. Maybe they don't.
I mean, if the deep pass works as well against for the Browns as it did for the Buccaneers,
Josh Gordon's gonna. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be rough.
I hope he goes off for my fantasy team because I need it.
You're relying on the Browns.
I don't know. I think that it could be a big day for Tyrod and Joku, Gordon and Landry, but
I hope so.
I'm worried because I thought that the Saints were gonna. I believe that the Saints, before last week, I believe that they were gonna be a threat in the NFC. But I mean, when you're getting beat like that to a Bucs team that one doesn't even really have bad. Their starting quarterback.
Which, I mean, to be honest, if Fitzpatrick goes off again, they might want to consider leaving him in.
You do want to go with the hot hand.
Yeah, and I mean, with the issues Jameis Winston has gone through.
They get
the
Eagles this week, so we get to see if Ryan Fitzpatrick is for real. Because
I'll be honest, though, I don't think that game was showing that the Bucs were good. I just think it showed the Saints defense was bad. I think the Bucs will still be the worst team in the division, they're probably not going to win.
I think the Saints are going to – I'm not going to say they're going to rebound. I think their defense will probably perform a lot better than that. But I think that
– I hope. I would hope their defense can play better than that.
I would hope so, too, because it's a talented defense. But, the Bucs get the Eagles next, and
And I know this wasn't initially part of what we're going to talk about, but I do feel like this is worth a mention, what Aaron Rodgers did on Sunday night.
Yep.
That was incredible.
Did you guys see that he outthrew, I don't remember how many quarterbacks it was, but in the second 19 half.
19 starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
In the second half.
What was it? He almost overthrew Tom Brady.
297 yards.
He saved my fantasy team. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we get in your fantasy team. You're welcome.
And he was throwing off one leg.
Yeah, he
most
was
of his throws, and he was.
He really was. He could not push off that back leg.
Allison, oh my, that was just beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Not only that, but like Randall Cobb, 9 receptions, 142 yards, a touchdown. So there were a lot of big games that day. I think for me, would you guys say it was a good or bad indication for Chicago? I think it was good in
it was good
because if you remember, like there were reports that don't expect a lot of Khalil Mack. He's still going to get adjusted and stuff. He balled.
In that first half, he was great. He was, but in the second half, he didn't do too much. I don't know if that was because he was a little.
The Packers schemed around him in the second half. Rodgers didn't hold the ball for more than 2 seconds, and you need more than 2 seconds to get through an all-pro tackle.
I remember just seeing some tweets from a fantasy podcast I listened to. They're like, there goes the Packers season, and then I get a notification, Rodgers back in. I'm like, this
could you should have seen Nick. He was freaking out. He thought it was all over.
I was like, this
I was throwing shit against the walls. It was not a pretty sight.
I was like, this shouldn't be good. Khalil Mack is going to do more, and they lead a comeback.
I will say there were a couple occasions where the Bears went for it. It was a third and one, but they threw the ball on third and one twice instead of running the ball. And I think both those times it's probably costing the game, especially the last one, because they could have just gotten a first down on third and one and ended the game.
In those situations.
And then, of course, the drop pick.
That reminded me a lot of Matt Nagy being trained by Andy Reid. Like, that seems like an Andy Reid thing to do, to throw it on third and one.
And I mean, that's what separates a great team from a good team right there, or even an average team. It's just making those plays in big moments that you need to make.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the Bears can make those plays in the future.
But I think this is a good showing. Like, if you're a Bears fan, I think
it shows that you're wrecked.
You're emotionally wrecked, but at the same time, you're like, "Oh, we hung with the At the end of the day, it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, there's only so much that you can do against Aaron Rodgers. I don't care how good your defense is. If you could be the 85 Bears, you'll find a way to put up some points. So,
and then I think they at least get third place in the division with how bad the Lions look. So,
oh, the Lions are abysmal.
You know what sucks?
Just terrible.
I didn't get to watch the Packers game, but the Lions game I did get to watch, and I wish I flipped them.
Matthew Stafford. Oh my gosh, what are you doing?
See, I kind of.
I mean, playing like the quarterback he is, an average quarterback.
See, for me, like, I wish I could use this for biggest story, but to say that the Lions are going to be something big isn't much, but for me, man.
Yeah,
for me, I just think that if you're – so to sum up just the Bears-Packers game, if you're a Bears fan, you're sad, but you're excited. You saw – the first half showed you the potential of this team, a great defense and offense that can, you know, be fine. And then the second half, you can't do much. That's Aaron Rodgers. So,
wait, did they ever confirm what kind of injury he had? I never saw him.
ACL sprain is what it is.
Just a sprain.
Oh, just a sprain.
ACL sprain.
Is he still day-to-day, though, for the week? I know he said he
didn't play,
but
Devontae,
it still depends on the coach.
Yeah, he's listed as day-to-day. And Devontae Adams is down with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, he missed practice.
Oh, Devontae. Oh, my gosh.
I would bet all the money I have that they're both playing. There's no reason to worry. Yeah, they're not going to
For
play.
Me, I think the only the thing that worries me about Rodgers' injury is Vikings next week. That game's going to be worrying. Because and the thing is that he's not going to be able to be mobile. He's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that.
But I'm sure we will talk about that game later on.
Foreshadowing, so.
Yeah, a little bit of foreshadowing. And then before we end this segment, I do have to give a shout-out to the Panthers, you know.
Oh, my God.
The Cowboys. I have to put that in there. Shut up. I feel like we don't need to say much more about that game because the Cowboys offense is shit and the Panthers defense is amazing. So,
is it?
One more thing I'd like to add. There was a mention of some stat lines.
Okay.
Did you guys know Michael Thomas was only 4 catches short of the NFL record? First single game catches.
What was his exact stat line?
He had 17 catches, 180 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
He was 4 short of the Brandon Marshall.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, I mean.
That's 17 points off just receptions.
Hey, you know what? When your team's just so elite, performances like that are common.
Okay, but I want to go back to this. Do the Panthers have a defense thing? Because in their last 31 games,
they played
Johan. In their last 31 games, they haven't allowed an opposing rusher to get over 100 yards.
Yeah, I noticed because one of my leads had Zeke, but no, they gave Zeke a rough time. But I mean, come on, man, you're playing the Falcons this week. If Matt Ryan has anything in him, I think they'll be better. I mean, Devontae's hurt, but
I'd like to point out it. If you legitimately, you can say whatever you want about what the Panthers secondary can do. I mean, they've got some old players back there and some young players, but they might have the best front seven in the NFL.
And to me, that makes up for the secondary.
They
because
certainly
if you can
have the
get
best
to the
linebacker.
Quarterback,
oh yeah, they have
cornerbacks
Kuechly. That's
and defensive backs don't have to hold as long.
I don't know because Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh is not a fair.
That's a front two.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm talking the entire front seven.
I don't care if it's a front two. That's them.
Julius
right there.
Peppers is somehow still really good. And then of course you have Luke Kuechly. Kawan Short is really underrated. He's really good. And then when Thomas Davis comes back, he'll be in there. And Shaq Thompson's a very reliable linebacker. I mean, their front seven, if you're not saying they're the best, I guess I could understand, but they're at least top three.
Easily. They have the best signal calling middle linebacker in the NFL.
I'll say this,
the
Cowboys defense shocked me a little.
The opposing team's running.
The Cowboys defense kind of shocked me. They played a lot better than I thought.
Yeah, but that was mostly due to Greg Olsen going out and the Panthers losing a very important offensive lineman. Once that happened, the game did kind of get a little more rough for the Panthers.
Hey, guys, let's just all be happy our teams just don't have Ereck Flowers. And with that, I think this is the perfect way of ending the segment. We don't have Ereck Flowers. So, guys, it is time for our unsponsored, shamelessly plugged. That's a lot of damage. Player of the week, not presented by Flex Tape and Phil Swift. So for me, and I think for all of us, that's not Nick, we could all say it was Khalil Mack.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Look, Khalil Mack did, if you look at a stat line, didn't do a lot of damage. But if you look at the highlights, a lot of damage. He had a strip sack where he
against the back of
oh,
QB.
Oh man, Deshaun Kaiser.
I don't care.
Oh God.
I don't.
He just went
I don't
like, yeah,
care.
That's my football, bitch. I'm taking that shit.
I don't care if it was Deshaun Kaiser. It's the fact that he sacked him and took the ball.
Oh yeah.
He took that ball from him, and he was like, "You look at me. I am the captain now. You shouldn't be on this field." And it was just so amazing to me to see that. That play was just, to me, it was just something crazy. Like, you come in, this is your first game, and you want to show off. And, oh, just,
That first half could not have gone better for him. He was all over the place. It was incredible.
Oh, my gosh, just...
And he also drove many Packer fans into a depression for the first half.
Yeah.
Is one we're talking to in this podcast right now. That felt like, the wrath of Khalil Mack.
And like we were talking about last segment, man, even though the second half was kind of rough, you saw what the future what's coming.
Bro,
you got a glimpse
a
of the future
about that second half. That first half, oh my freaking goodness. He ended the first half on a pick six.
Yeah.
Like Jesus. That was just, my goodness. Packers fans were booing after that. It was pretty great. It was pretty great.
It was just I thought it was just a dominant performance from and my favorite thing was after you saw all the memes like, okay, John Gruden, how do you trade this kind of guy? And yeah. For me, yes. Just the pick six, the strip sack, it wasn't for me, it wasn't the statistics. It was just how big those plays were.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and now we get to Nick's lame pick.
It was Aaron Rodgers, without a doubt.
All right, if I'm being real, he did do an immense amount of damage.
It's not even close.
He
played like garbage in that first half. He was terrible in the first half. He had a 43 QBR.
They got
halftime.
Us in the first half. But...
It doesn't matter because he's a second half quarterback. He came out, posted a 130 quarterback rating.
Look, man, it's not often that I quote Stephen A. Smith when it comes to Aaron Rodgers because I believe Brady's better,
man.
But he's a bad man. That second half,
he caused damage to the Bears defense, the hearts of the Bears fans, the Bears front office, the Bears cheerleader, anybody associated with the Chicago Bears was damaged by that performance.
I mean. So, do you have the exact stat line of the second half? Because
He only had 4 incompletions in the second half.
I'll be honest, if you look at his whole stats and maybe subtract like 50 yards, that's probably
his. So look, his whole stat line was 20 for 30, 286 with 3 touchdowns. His QBR was 43.7. Yeah.
I can tell you in the first half he had maybe like 3 or 4 fantasy points, and then he finished with 24. That shows you.
Let me see if I can find Aaron Rodgers' second half statistics, because I feel like
he outpassed 19 starting quarterbacks in the second half alone. Like, he spotted the Bears 20 points and a half of football.
Oh, okay, here's the second half. Second half versus the Bears: 17 for 23. 273 passing yards, 74% completion, with a 152.7 QB ratings and three touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah, yep. I mean, it was pretty incredible.
I just look. He's a bad man. There's just not, like, for me, Aaron Rodgers is just. I love Tom Brady, but just some of the stuff that Aaron Rodgers does, usually we see him do those Hail Marys, but to me, just to watch him dissect a defense that's solid as Chicago. I told y'all in my bold predictions, they had the seventh best total defense and added Khalil Mack, and you dissect that team and you do all that
You can go and look at that throw he made to Jordan Allison, rolling to his left on one foot. He flicked the ball 52 yards.
Because look, I'm going just based off. I don't know how this could be possible. I unfortunately did not get to see such a performance. I'm going off what I heard. You two saw it, and I mean, I think I'm just gonna have to watch the game or the second half because I think that it's just special what that man can do.
It was a near perfect half of football for him.
I'm with the belief that he's the most talented quarterback to ever play. Yeah. I'm with that belief. Just some of the things he does, the ability.
I could see it.
Because let's face it, he's mobile. He can pass from the pocket, and you took away half of what makes him great. He can throw on the run. You take that away, and he's still able to do this kind of stuff.
Like, he can make any throw in the game from any position.
His second half numbers could be, you'd be 31 other quarterbacks would be more than happy with his second half performance. And Nathan Peterman would be very happy with his first half performance. Aaron Rodgers, bad man.
I mean, it was something special to watch.
A bad man. They did a lot of damage, just like how you can do a lot of damage by stabbing in knives in a bucket. So that's our that's a lot of damage players of the week. So, yeah. All right, so guys, week 2 is upon us. What are your games of the week? Nick, we'll start off with you.
For me, it's going to be Minnesota versus Green Bay. It's a battle of probably the most talented team in the NFC North versus the best quarterback in the NFC North. I think it's going to be really good. Rodgers is coming off one of his greatest performances against the Bears. The Vikings are pretty much the team to beat for him, because if they want Super Bowl hopes, they've got to win the division. So it should be a good game.
Yeah, for me, that's definitely that. I would agree with you with that being the game of the week. We get to see Kirk Cousins go against Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins, that'll be a big game for him, and maybe it'll show his worth.
A hobbled Aaron Rodgers.
That's still better than almost
no. A hobbled Aaron Rodgers can
destroy he's still anybody. Better. He's still in the second best quarterback in the league.
Shut up.
But yeah. Oh no, I think that game's going to be very important division wise. If the Packers won't have any chance at winning their division, they're going to need to
to split with Minnesota to have a shot at this division.
Yeah. And they're at home, right?
Yeah, this isn't Lambo.
Yeah, so they.
So this this so really is their big
for me,
shot.
Yeah, this is the game. If they,
this
yeah,
is a
they
big
need
prove it game
to
for them.
Yeah.
The defense is going to have to play. They're going to have to play really well because the Minnesota defense is going to stifle Rodgers and those receivers. They're not going to have a running game of any form from anybody.
Yeah.
So,
are you worried at all?
I mean,
are you worried at all about the Packers offense being shut down because so, because of the lack of
I mean,
running
always,
game?
Always,
you have to.
Minnesota may have the best defense in the game.
Yeah.
So,
but for me, this is going to be this is a game where we get to see both played solid teams. We expect to improve with the Niners and the Bears, but this week we get to see just how good each of these teams are, and we'll get to see just I'm not going to say how healthy, but what kind of condition Rodgers is gonna be in. So yeah,
to me, it all comes down to the new defense that Mike Pettine put together, and if he can actually coordinate, because this is going to have to be a low scoring game if the Packers want a shot.
And you know, I feel like we should give predictions for these, and to be honest, I would think the Vikings are going to pull this one out. In my opinion, I think it's going to be a very close game.
So, Green
I think
Bay,
they are too.
So this is ESPN. And this is just a foreshadow for next segment, which is Vegas lines. But Green Bay from the ESPN, what I see is that they're a 1-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the game could come down depending on how the defense plays for Green Bay and if they're able to slow down. And if it's a low scoring game, I could see. Yeah. Oh,
do you have a prediction?
Man, because it's just that the Packers offense is just so limited with Rodgers being hurt, and you know you're gonna have the Vikings defense is very, very good, and
we need you to stop stalling, bud.
All right, I'm gonna go with. I think that the Vikings. I think Kirk Cousins breaks out this game, and I'm gonna go with 24-20.
All righty, you gave the score. Look at that.
For me, I'm gonna try and be as unbiased as possible with this. It's going to be 23-20. Actually, no. It's going to be 17-23 Vikings, and they're going to end up stopping Rodgers on a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's going to come down to.
What about you?
Whether it's they don't let him convert the Hail Mary or they just stop them on four, it's going to come down to Rodgers being able to win.
And depending on – oh. Sorry.
Oh yeah, let me go real quick. For me, I have the Vikings winning. The score is what I struggle with a little bit, though. I know I said earlier it would be close, but I'm gonna be honest.
This game could go either way for me. It could go either through a blowout or not a blowout, a comfortable game for the Vikings.
I'm gonna go a little bold, and I'm gonna say 27-16 Vikings.
Okay. Yeah, and what I forgot to mention is if depending on Davante Adams' status, I mean, that's a big weapon, a big loss for the Packers, and so yeah, that could affect them.
All right, so we'll move on to your game of the week, Johan.
All right, so for me, 28 or the AFC Championship rematch, Jaguars Patriots
robbed out of last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I'm not – whatever decisions were made on that Miles Jack play, I can't.
Miles Jack wasn't done.
So, yeah. So, I think that's the game of the week. New England's at Jacksonville. So, and this Jacksonville defense is still just as talented as we remember them being. And this New England Patriots offense is not as good as it was when they first played. Edelman's suspended. Brandon Cooks is gone. So for me, I'm very worried, about this game because I can see Ramsey shutting down Hogan. I can see Bouye shutting down Dorsey. I think that this game could be a blowout. At its extreme, I think that Jacksonville can blow out New England and that's,
wow.
I think they could just because the Patriots offense this year look, they play the Texans very well, but the Texans' defense is not as good as Jacksonville's. And for me, I'm just worried about, one, the lack of receivers, and just the dependence on checking down that I feel like there will be in this game.
This will be a low-scoring game. This will be a very low-scoring game, in my opinion. And I think, like I said earlier, it's going to be a prove-it game for the Jags. And this game will probably show if they're actually going to be something this year. And the last year wasn't a fluke.
We get to see just how good Jacksonville will be this year after this game. Now, prediction-wise, I don't even know if I can comfortably predict it because I just don't know like, for me, this game is just such a weird game because usually New England can survive shootouts, but this is going to end up – I'm going to go – this is going to sound really bad. I'm going to say Jacksonville wins this 28-10.
Wow.
I think that they get to Tom and they put a lot of pressure. I don't think that the Patriots offense will be able to move the ball as well as they did. And I think that they'll get a pick six somewhere.
I'll tell you how I see this game going. I see it being a very low scoring game. I see it being in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. It's going to be 13-10 Jacksonville. Tom Brady is going to go on one of his famous fourth quarter drives and seal the deal with a touchdown. And I say 17-13 Patriots will win the game. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, this one's pretty tough. I could see this being high scoring. I could see it being like a defensive game, but I have way too much confidence in Jacksonville defense.
Look, if it's a shootout, I'm going. It's New England all the way. I just think that Blake Bortles won't be able to keep up in a shootout, and Leonard Fournette might be out for the week. But I just think that the Jacksonville defense is going to get to Tom Brady. They've seen this Patriots team once, and I think that. I think that for me, the one player who I think will get his is Gronk. But other than that, I think that they'll stump Hogan, and I think that they'll frustrate the Patriots offense a lot.
To me, if there's one defense that can stop Gronk, it's going to be the Jags.
But
Telvin Smith and Miles Jack are
somebody's got to get the ball for New England, and
Gronk will definitely get force-fed the ball.
And I think that that's.
Just a lot this Jacksonville front seven is going to get to Brady. Like, this will really show how well the Patriots can put together an O-line.
Yeah. All right, so.
All right, I'll go with mine. You guys stole my first two choices, but I'm not surprised since I had your favorite teams in both those matchups. So I'll continue the trend and go with my favorite team, the Panthers, going off against the Falcons. I'll be honest, I didn't have too much prepared for this, but. In both the games they played last year, I mean, the last one was kind of sluggish, but the first one was one Julio Jones drop away from that game completely changing. Both these teams have their injury issues going into this week, so I could see – I mean, it's going to be a tough game for either team. It's an especially important game for the Falcons because if they drop the 0-2 and then the next week they have to play the Saints and the Saints beat them, an 0-3 start would be – looking pretty bad.
Including for the division, for the chances to win the division.
I see this game being a pretty sluggish game. I don't see it being too high scoring because both offenses kind of seem to struggle a little bit and they're not really on their groove. That's how I see the game going. I don't know what you guys think.
Matt Ryan, I hope they're at home. I expect that the Falcons' offense will perform a lot better than they did at Philly. So,
Nick, is there anything you want to add?
I think for the Panthers, this is on the verge of being a blowout in my eyes.
Really? You think that they'll blow
the Falcons need to tread carefully in this game?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
– To me, Christian McCaffrey is going to have a massive game.
Well,
Deion Jones is the guy who usually marks him. He's out.
Keanu Neal
would probably be another a candidate to go and cover McCaffrey. He's also out.
Yeah, but
they're going to struggle to cover McCaffrey. They already struggle against the Panthers just in general. And again, Deion Jones is the guy who would spy Cam Newton. So there's going to be a lot of real estate for Cam McCaffrey and CJ Anderson
around. It's going to be a tough game, though. The Panthers haven't won in Atlanta since 2014, and I don't know. I don't see it being a blowout. I hope you're right, because that would make life a lot easier for me, and I wouldn't have to deal with these stupid Falcons fans that I live with. My prediction for the game, I think it's going to be 20-16 Panthers in a low-scoring slugfest. Sloppy game.
I think it'll be 24-21 in a Matt Bryant field goal to win the game.
I hope not.
Ooh. I think it's going to be 17-31 Panthers.
Goodness, I hope you're right. That'd be awesome. And
I think Matt Ryan is going to struggle again against the Panthers defense.
I mean, we'll get to this in the next segment, but Atlanta being favored by 6 is really high.
Yeah, that I just saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, the over-under is 40-45. So they're expecting
I think that's a little high too. I guess they just don't really trust the defenses, but I mean, if anything, I don't see the Falcons being able to score a lot of points.
Like I said,
Julio Jones just goes completely off.
Like I said, for me, I'm not going to say much about Carolina's defense, because I thought that holding Dallas to 8 points was – it's holding them to 8 points, but Dallas's offense is still very, very not talented. They weren't good. Dak's not that great of a quarterback to me. They don't have he's limited by his weapons. So, I mean, this – you get Julio now. You get arguably one of the best receivers in the league. He went off last week and against a solid Eagles secondary. So
I just don't understand your hate for the Panthers defense. I know they played the Cowboys last week, but they didn't lose too many players from last year. If anything, the defense got a little better.
No, last year they
had a solid defense.
It's not hate. I just think that I expect the Falcons offense to pick it up from last week. They played one of the best defenses, so I think it could be
I hope they score more than 12 points. That would be bad if they didn't. Actually, I don't hope they score more than 12, but Falcons fans should hope they do.
The Panthers scored 16 on the Cow. Okay, never mind.
Hey, I'm not comparing offenses. I'm just saying the Panthers got a good defense.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good game.
Do we have anything else to
add? Maybe these two will be the ones winning. Maybe this game could give us an indication on who's going to win the division. Because from what we saw last week from the Saints, it's not going to be them unless they get better.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons and Saints have big games this week. They have to win. They can't fall to 0-2. I think that'd be especially being in the NFC, that'd be a huge disadvantage.
Yeah. I mean, if you're fighting for the wild cards, already going to be hard enough. And the Packers, if they can handle business, it's going to be them two. It's going to be the Packers and the Vikings. So one of these, I don't know. If the Saints or Falcons, I think that you're going to want to perform a lot better this week and win your game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So guys, week two is upon us. What are your games of the week? Nick, we'll start off with you.
For me, it's going to be Minnesota versus Green Bay. It's a battle of probably the most talented team in the NFC North versus the best quarterback in the NFC North. I think it's going to be really good. Rodgers is coming off one of his greatest performances against the Bears. The Vikings are pretty much the team to beat for him, because if they want Super Bowl hopes, they've got to win the division. So it should be a good game.
Yeah,
for me, that's definitely that. I would agree with you with that being the game of the week. We get to see Kirk Cousins go against Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins, that'll be a big game for him. and maybe it'll show his worth.
A hobbled Aaron Rodgers.
That's still better than almost
90%. A hobbled Aaron Rodgers can still
destroy he's still anybody. Better. He's still in the second best quarterback in the league.
Shut up.
But yeah. I think that game's going to be very important division wise. If the Packers want to have any chance at winning their division, they're going to need to this game would be.
They need to split with Minnesota to have a shot at this division.
Yeah. And they're at home, right?
Yeah, this is at Lambeau.
Yeah, so this
really is their big shot. Yeah,
this is the game. If they
this is a big prove it game for them.
Yeah.
The defense is going to have to play. They're going to have to play really well because the Minnesota defense is going to stifle Rodgers and those receivers. They're not going to have a running game of any form from anybody.
Yeah.
So,
are you worried at all?
I mean,
are you worried at all about the Packers' offense being shut down because of the lack of
running game? I mean, always.
I think you have to.
Minnesota may have the best defense in the game.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but for me, this is gonna be for yeah. This is a game where we get to see, both played solid teams. We expect to improve with the Niners and the Bears. But this week, we get to see just how good each of these teams are, and we'll get to see I'm not gonna say how healthy, but what kind of condition Rodgers is gonna be in. So yeah,
to me, it all comes down to the new defense that Mike Pettine put together. And if he can actually coordinate, because this is going to have to be a low-scoring game if the Packers want a shot.
And, you know, I feel like we should give predictions for these. And I would think the Vikings are going to pull this one out, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a very close game.
So,
Green Bay. I think they are, too.
So, this is ESPN. This is just a foreshadow for next segment, which is Vegas lines. But Green Bay from the ESPN, what I see is that they're a one-point favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think that the game could come down depending on how the defense plays for Green Bay and if they're able to slow down. And if it's a low-scoring game, I could see. Yeah. Oh,
do you have a prediction?
Man. Because for me, it's just that the Packers' offense is just so limited with Rodgers being hurt. And, you know, you're going to have the Vikings defense is very, very good. And
we need you to stop stalling, bud.
All right. I'm going to go with, I think that the Vikings, I think Kirk Cousins breaks out this game. And I'm going to go with 24-20.
All righty. You gave the score. Look at that.
For me, I'm going to try and be as unbiased as possible with this. It's going to be 23-20. Actually, no. It's going to be 17-23 Vikings, and they're going to end up stopping Rodgers on a game-winning drive.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's going to come down to.
What about you?
Whether it's they don't let him convert the Hail Mary or they just stop them on four, it's going to come down to Rodgers being able to win.
And depending on – oh.
Sorry. Oh yeah, let me go real quick. For me, I have the Vikings winning. The score is what I struggle with a little bit, though. I know I said earlier it would be close, but I'm gonna be honest.
This game could go either way for me. It could go either through a blowout or not a blowout, a comfortable game for the Vikings. I could see.
I'm gonna go a little bold, and I'm gonna say 27-16 Vikings. Okay.
Yeah, and what I forgot to mention is if depending on Davante Adams' status, I mean, that's a big weapon, a big loss for the Packers, and so yeah, that could affect them.
All right, so we'll move on to your game of the week, Johan.
All right, so for me, 28 or the AFC Championship rematch, Jaguars Patriots
robbed out of last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I'm not – whatever decisions were made on that Miles Jack play, I can't.
Miles Jack wasn't done.
So, yeah. So, I think that's the game of the week. New England's at Jacksonville. And this Jacksonville defense is still just as talented as we remember them being. And this New England Patriots offense is not as good as it was when they first played. Edelman's suspended. Brandon Cooks is gone. So for me, I'm very worried about this game because I can see Ramsey shutting down Hogan. I can see Bouye shutting down Dorsett. I think that this game could be a blowout.
I think this is a perfect game for the Jags. At its extreme,
I think that Jacksonville can blow out New England, and that's wow. I think they could just because the Patriots' offense this year. Look, they play the Texans very well, but the Texans' defense is not as good as Jacksonville's. And for me, I'm just worried about one, the lack of receivers, and just the dependence on checking down that I feel like there will be in this game.
This will be a very low-scoring game, in my opinion. And I think, like I said earlier, it's going to be a prove-it game for the Jags. And this game will probably show if they're actually going to be something this year. And last year wasn't a fluke.
Yeah. We get to see just how good Jacksonville will be this year after this game. Now, prediction-wise, I don't even know how I can comfortably predict it because I just don't know the – I just don't know, like, for me, this game is just such a weird game because usually New England can survive shootouts, but this is going to end up – I'm going to go – this is going to sound really bad. I'm going to say Jacksonville wins this 28-10.
Wow.
I think that they get to Tom and they put a lot of pressure. I don't think that the Patriots offense will be able to move the ball as well as they did. And I think that they'll get a pick six somewhere.
I'll tell you how I see this game going. I see it being a very low scoring game. I see it being in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, it's going to be 13-10 Jacksonville. Tom Brady is going to go on one of his famous fourth quarter drives and seal the deal with a touchdown. And I say 17-13 Patriots will win the game. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, this one's pretty tough. I could see this being high scoring. I could see it being like a defensive game. But I have way too much confidence in Jacksonville defense.
Look, if it's a shootout, I'm going – it's New England all the way. I just think that Blake Bortles won't be able to keep up in a shootout. And Leonard Fournette might be out for the week. But I just think that the Jacksonville defense is going to get to Tom Brady. They've seen this Patriots team once. And I think that for me, the one player who I think will get his is Gronk. But other than that, I think that they'll – I think that they'll stump Hogan, and I think that they'll frustrate the Patriots offense a lot.
To me, if there's one defense that can stop Gronk, it's going to be the Jags.
But so,
Telvin Smith and Miles Jacker.
But to me, somebody's got to get the ball for New England, and
Gronk will definitely get force-fed the ball.
And I think that that's
just a lot. This Jacksonville front seven is going to get to Brady, like this will really show how well the Patriots can put together an O-line. Yeah.
All right, so
I'll go with mine. You guys stole my first two choices, but I'm not surprised since I had your favorite teams in both those matchups. So I'll continue the trend and go with my favorite team, the Panthers, going off against the Falcons. I'll be honest, I didn't have too much prepared for this, but in both the games they played last year, I mean, the last one was kind of sluggish, but the first one was one Julio Jones drop away from that game completely changing. Both these teams have their injury issues going into this week, so I could see – I mean, it's going to be a tough game for either team. It's an especially important game for the Falcons because if they drop to 0-2 and then the next week they have to play the Saints and the Saints beat them, an 0-3 start would be looking pretty bad.
Including for the division, for the chance to win the division.
I see this game being a pretty sluggish game. I don't see it being too high scoring because both offenses kind of seem to struggle a little bit, and they're not really on their groove. So I mean, that's how I see the game going. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, Matt Ryan. I hope they're at home. I expect that the Falcons' offense will perform a lot better than they did at Philly. So,
Nick, is there anything you want to add?
I think for the Panthers, this is on the verge of being a blow in my eyes.
Really? You think that they'll blow
the Falcons need to tread carefully in this game?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
to me, Christian McCaffrey is going to have a massive game.
Well,
Deion Jones is the guy who usually marks him. He's out.
Keanu Neal
would probably be another a candidate to go and cover McCaffrey. He's also out.
Yeah, but
they're going to struggle to cover McCaffrey. They already struggle against the Panthers just in general. And again, Deion Jones is the guy who would spy Cam Newton. So there's going to be a lot of real estate for Cam McCaffrey. And CJ Anderson and
run off. The Panthers haven't won in Atlanta since 2014, and I don't know. I don't see it being a blowout. I hope you're right, because that would make life a lot easier for me, and I wouldn't have to deal with these stupid Falcons fans that I live with. My prediction for the game, I think it's going to be 20-16 Panthers in a low-scoring slugfest. Sloppy game.
I think it'll be 24-21 in a Matt Bryant field goal to win the game.
I hope not.
Ooh. I think it's going to be 17-31 Panthers.
Goodness, I hope you're right. That'd be awesome. And I mean,
I think Matt Ryan is going to struggle again against the Panthers defense.
I mean, we'll get to this in the next segment, but Atlanta being favored by 6 is really high.
Yeah,
that is really high.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, the over-under is 40-45, so they're expecting
I think that's a little high, too. I guess they just don't really trust the defenses, but I mean, if anything, I don't know. I don't see the Falcons
being able to score a lot of points. Like I said,
Julio Jones just goes completely off.
Like I said, for me, I'm not going to say much about Carolina's defense, because I thought that holding Dallas to 8 points was – it's holding them to 8 points, but Dallas's offense is still very, very not talented. They weren't good. Dak's not that great of a quarterback to me. They don't have – well, he doesn't – he's limited by his weapons. So, I mean, this – you get Julio now. You get arguably one of the best receivers in the league. He went off last week and against a solid Eagles secondary. So
I just don't understand your hate for the Panthers defense. Like, it, I know they played the Cowboys last week, but it's not like they didn't lose too many players from last year. If anything, the defense got a little better.
No, last year
they had a solid defense.
It's not hate. I just think that this week for me, I get to see. I just think that I expect the Falcons offense to pick it up from last week. They played one of the best defenses, so I think it could be
Hope they score more than 12 points. That'd be bad if they didn't. Actually, I don't hope they score more than 12, but Falcons fans should hope they do.
The Panthers scored 16 on the Cow. Okay. Never mind.
Hey, I'm not comparing offenses. I'm just saying the Panthers got a good defense.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good game.
Do we have anything
it'll
else to
game? Maybe these two will be the ones winning. Maybe this game could give us an indication on who's going to win the division. Because from what we saw last week from the Saints, it's not going to be them unless they get better.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons and Saints have big games this week. They have to win. They can't fall to 0-2. I think that'd be especially being in the NFC, that'd be a huge disadvantage.
Yeah. I mean, if you're fighting for the wild cards, already going to be hard enough. And the Packers, if they can handle business, it's going to be them too. It's going to be the Falcons or the Packers and the Vikings. So one of these, I don't know, if the Saints or Falcons, I think that you're going to want to perform a lot better this week and win your game.
Mm-hmm. All right. So.
All right.